There you go, you're recording.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
The Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Father, may I speak in your name this morning and share your love and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do please be seated. Now, one of the things you won't know about me is I love heckling. Now, given that I'm in Farningham, I probably won't get you as far as heckling me. But I will be asking you some questions through that I would love you to at least put your hands up for. Is that... can we do that? Is that all right? Lovely. Well, it is a great joy to be here. And I have the only other time I think I've preached here was at my grandmother's funeral. And at my grandmother's funeral, she had chosen, like my grandmother would if you knew my grandmother, chosen everything about the funeral. And so I had to go through with a red pen, deleting things like the reading she had chosen. And replacing it and all those sorts of things. But it was a great joy, and in the sense of being able to share that life that she had spent so many years here doing. I probably told all the stories of finding a machine gun in her down in the basement, and how she managed to set off bombs with her daughters in the Second World War and things like that. I'm sure you know all of those things, but if you haven't, do ask me afterwards. Now, the thing about Luke 10 today, which I find absolutely fascinating, is that we live in a society where faith and religion is being tried to be marginalised more and more and pushed to the edges more and more. So my first question is this. You may have your views on Jeremy Corbyn, one way or the other. I'm not particularly interested this morning in your views on him, but most commentators would say, and in fact agree, that Jeremy Corbyn has transformed the membership of the Labour Party and that it is now the largest political party in Western Europe. So your first question this morning is the Labour Party membership larger or smaller than the number of people in a Church of England church this morning? Is the membership of the Labour Party larger or smaller than the number of people attending a Church of England church this morning? So hands up if you think the Labour Party membership is larger. How many think it's smaller? In fact, the Labour Party membership, not active, remember a lot of those are £3 a head people who signed up and are click activists, is half the size of the worshipping community of the Church of England on any Sunday morning. Half the size. And when you add in the Roman Catholic churches and the independent churches, In fact, the Church of England on its own is larger than the membership, and I'm not talking about the membership of the Church of England, I'm just talking about those who have attended on any given Sunday, is larger than all the political parties put together in this country. Extraordinary. You wouldn't believe it when the way we act is that we are marginalised, not listened to, and that faith is some oddity. The opposite is true, that we are far larger than many of us will give ourselves credit for. And this passage from Luke's chapter 10, which is one of my favourite, really talks about Jesus' way of ministry. Because we have many great, bright ideas, and certainly in my Fresh Expressions movement, new forms of church. But actually, this gets back to the fundamentals of what it is. And so I'm just going to go through, reasonably briefly, Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. You know, especially being a pulpit 6 feet above contradiction, there's that great sense in which we love to wear our learning well. That sense in which we would love to expound the Greek of a passage to give you the real understanding of what it means, and that actually you poor people in the pews, you don't really understand it, but we're here to tell you what it is. So I thought I'd do that with the word others. So Jesus appointed 70 others. Now that must mean that they've been through rabbinical school, they've been trained within an inch of their life in Hebrew and biblical scholarship and understanding, that they've gone through this intensive training course. So I thought I'd go and look what the Greek for others meant. And I went and looked it up, and the Greek word for others means, well, it means others. It means they're not the disciples. It just means others. It means you. Jesus sends you and I. He doesn't ask that we've reached some pinnacle of training and language and expertise. He just sends normal people to be his followers and to share his love with others around him. And that's the heart of the good news. Not that we have a clerical class dressed up in my, as my daughters would say, my Barbie dress, but actually people in our daily lives being witness to the love and grace of Jesus in our own lives, the acceptance that we've found from him, the sense in which he's walking with us and in us. And so he goes on and says, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. It's fascinating because we think that everybody is shut off, that nobody wants to talk about faith. But so often the opposite is true, that people actually would love to talk about meaning in life, would love to know where they're going, what life's about. And maybe we need to be more adventurous in being able to share that love and that grace with people, be the good news to others. And it's fascinating because we then think we ought to go with something, we ought to be doing something, we ought to be setting up schools, or we should be setting up nurseries, or we should be doing something. And so he says, go on your way, see, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one. There was a priest in East Africa called Vincent Donovan, and he was a Catholic priest in Tanzania, and he realized that they had made no impact on the Maasai tribes of East Africa. So he said to his bishop, I'd like to try something new, and he had an old battered Land Rover, and he said, all our hospitals, all our schools have made no impact. So he went round and just talked about Jesus to the different Maasai tribes. Each day he'd go to a different Maasai tribe, he'd sit down with them, tell them the story of Jesus, and at the end of 6 months he'd say, so what do you think? Would you like to be baptized? And tribe after tribe would say, yes, we'd love to be. We understand your stories, we want to become. And then he'd go and say, yes, but that person over there, he hasn't been listening. That Gary there, he hasn't been listening, he's been going to sleep. And they'd say, well, that's okay, we know he's like that, we're going to train him. And that person over there has been missing. And they say, that's okay, we'll bring him up to speed. But you either baptize all of us or none of us, because we're a community. And so we had to learn how to create church for community. But he came with nothing. He came with just the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he says, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. We've discovered, when I was Minister of Springfield, that actually there are people in the community who are very open to the church. They may not be Christians. They may not come to church. But actually they recognize that actually we can make a difference. So we had the cafe owner in Wallington, Wallington Library Cafe. And we'd had an office off the high street. The landlord had doubled and then tripled our rent, and we said, bye-bye, we're not going to pay that. But we had a drop-in, and we didn't know where we could hold it. And one of my staff members said, I had a dream about Wallington Library Cafe, but I know it's closed on that morning. So I said, well, why didn't you go and have a look? And she discovered that it had been newly opened. And so we transferred, without actually talking to them about it, we just told people, we're going to be here on that morning. If you'd like to come and join us too. And we found suddenly that double, triple the number of people would come to this drop-in, and that many people on the margin, the fringes, would come and find a safe place to talk and chat and talk about faith and life. And that cafe owner, at Christmas, we said, we wondered about doing a carol service in your cafe. What do you think? We were a bit worried about how he'd react. And he said, that's wonderful. That's great. And he put up posters. He reorganized the cafe to allow us to set up. And we went and did our carol service. He gave us mulled wine. At the end, he did this. He stood up. This man is not a Christian. He stood up and he said, if you don't go to church, you should consider going to Springfield Church because they care for you. That was something we couldn't have even scripted. It was just one of those moments of God's Spirit working. You know, there are all these people around us. And if we go fearfully around them, never prepared to talk, you'll never know what they actually think. And whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. You know, that's our call to be light to the world around us. When I was a curate in Haydock, it was a very left-behind town. If you were a manager, you tended to move out of Haydock. If you were working class and post-industrial, you tended to get left. We had a lot of street youth around. And I came out of the service one Sunday morning to find two of them had been trying to climb over the railings into a small garden at the side of the church. And one of them had managed to, you know, kind of spike himself a bit on the railing. So I went in to find the first aid kit, took it out, and whilst he was putting his bandage on, his mate, of course, tried to nick the first aid kit, because that's what they did. And I remember thinking, well, most people see these people as a nuisance, as someone to be thrown away, but surely that's what Jesus did when he came across people who were a nuisance and left behind. He engaged with them. So I started engaging with them, and it got to such a point that I was probably the most hated person on my street, because sometimes we'd have 40 or 50 young people outside my house causing chaos. I discovered a few things. I discovered that wheelie bins burn, and they burn extremely well. I learnt that all about glue sniffing, and that going to the back of the churchyard was where they tended to gather of an evening, which was a bit odd, but you know. But I also discovered people who could be open, who actually no one had invested in them, people who had always seen them as a nuisance and a pain in the neck. I found people who actually wanted to be listened to. People who were hurting and broken. You see, if the church is to mean anything, we need to find out where God is working, because he is at work in our community, and find out how we can join in, because we're called to bring healing to to a broken world. We're called to share the love of Christ who gave himself up for us. That's all Jesus is doing, sending out people in teams to care for those around us, to make a difference. That's where you could, you know, you have such a blessing to be in a village where most people know someone, where you know so many people. To be the heart of a village. I know you had your fete yesterday. Everybody said what an amazing time it was yesterday. For the church to play that key role in bringing the outsiders, the people that nobody else will talk to, the people who are uncared for, the people that you'd rather not chat with. You know those people? We all have them. We used to call them in Springfield VDPs. Very difficult people. Everyone should have a VDP. It tests your humility and your patience like nothing else. You know, that's the call of the church. You have such an amazing ability to do so much in your community here. You are so much more than you visualize yourselves to be. C.S. Lewis once said, that squeaky person with their shoes that annoys you next to you, if you could just see them through heaven's eye, you'd see their glory revealed, and you'd see they're one of the great saints of heaven. You're amazing what you could do together. The impact a few people can make in a community to do good. And that's what I'm about in the Fresh Expressions. How do we form new Christian communities to make a difference in a broken, hurting world? How do we share the love of Christ with those around us? How do we become braver? How do we remember how much we are part of something so much bigger? The prophet Elijah goes and complains to God when he runs away. I alone am left. And God says, get some sleep. But afterwards, he reminds Elijah, I think rather brutally, but rather amusingly, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. In other words, Elijah, you're not on your own. Get over yourself. You can do so much more than you can ever ask or imagine. That's the promise of the gospel. And that's why Jesus' method of just sending people out in teams so they can support one another is so important. And I've reached about 15 minutes. Amen.